That means it is time for our positive points on aging, and we bring in our superstars from Oakleaf Village. It's Marcia and it's Karen. Today, it is our good friend Karen Pickard who joins us, and we welcome you back to the point. Hope you had a great 4th.
I did. I'm glad I didn't fall through any decks over the weekend.
Generally speaking, I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that at all. As long as you save the steak, though.
That's right.
That's really what matters.
That's all that matters, and everybody was happy.
Well,
except for you.
I wasn't happy, but I could tell you I certainly enjoyed that steak maybe a little more than I might have because I felt like that was my reward for almost falling through a debt. Well, not almost falling. I did.
Falling through it.
Yeah, at least I didn't fall all the way through. Just one leg.
Yes.
Anyway.
True.
Hey, how foggy is it out there still?
It wasn't bad at all coming in from Chapin.
Good, okay.
Around the lake, it was pretty bad.
Yeah, okay.
Once I got off the lake, it was
good, good,
bad.
Good. Yeah, we've had some calls with some fog and things like that. Just want to make sure everybody is taking good care. And dealing with things.
Yep.
So today, for our positive points on aging, we're going to talk about how to communicate a little bit better with people
Correct.
Who are dealing with dementia.
Communication with people with Alzheimer's disease or any kind of dementia is very challenging. And if you've ever had someone that you love dearly, you know what I'm talking about. And I will be honest, I was in a couple of different situations over the weekend, and I witnessed several people doing things that made me think this might be an important conversation to have. You don't think about it because you know this is a person you've known your whole life and you love them and they've always been able to communicate with you perfectly fine, and then all of a sudden they're grasping it for words, or they're calling a steak a hammer,
right?
And just they can't get it out correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to try to figure out how to communicate with these people because, by the way, you are their point of contact.
Right.
You are the person that's going to keep them safe. So you have to understand what they mean when they're mixing up their words or struggling for words. So that's kind of where I wanted to go with this.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have good listening skills. You also have to be very watchful because sometimes they're pointing at something, but they mean something totally different. So know your loved one, kind of get a grasp on what you think they're looking for, and be very, very patient.
Yeah, that's the key. I am finding that out a lot in the last few weeks with Mom, and we're going through some things with her. And I will tell you that the thing that I've been doing is taking just all the things you've taught me and that Marcia's taught me regarding dementia and also about living in their world, not taking them out of their world, but you going to their world instead of taking them into your world. And I've been trying to coach my brother up a little bit about understanding that everything that is frustrating us right now with Mom and some of the things that we think are so basic, from the television remote and all that, getting the phone and the remote confused and things like that. I'm like, Mark, none of this is her choice.
It's not her choice. And I've had people say to me, oh, well, Mom's just acting. That's almost a cruel statement. Your mother is very upset that she can't remember these things.
Yeah, it's been very challenging for her. And a lot of tears the last few nights because she realizes, why do I know something's wrong and I still can't deal with it?
You know, I don't mean to make this personal for you, but you are the reason the show is on the air, because it is personal. Everybody at some point is probably going to have to deal with somebody who has dementia, whether it's a parent, a loved one, a friend, somebody you know is going to have dementia.
Yeah.
1 out of 4 people. So it might even be you. So listen up, because you want to teach your children how to talk to you. Because a person with dementia, they usually have trouble coming up with the words. So think about it. What if they're substituting words? Like I just said, hammer for steak.
Sure, yeah.
They describe an object instead of naming it. You know that thing, you know that thing that you eat, that thing, you hear that a lot. And so listen for those things, repeating words or stories, mixing unrelated ideas and phrases together, things that have nothing to do with one another come into the same sentence, and you're going, where did we get on that one? I heard somebody not long ago say, you know, I'm perfectly fine. We were having a conversation, and all of a sudden my loved one just completely starts talking about something that was very random and had nothing to do with it. It's confusing. If you think it's confusing for you, though, you think of how confusing it is for them. Or they don't talk at all. You know, sometimes they just sit there and smile and, and that's all you get out of them. Something's going on. And this is an interesting thought that most of us don't deal with, but if you have a loved one who is, say, from Mexico, And Spanish is their number, or was their main language until they came here. They often revert back to the language of their childhood. So if you have somebody, I've had a resident years ago who was Japanese, and all of a sudden she started speaking Japanese again, and we were all standing around going, this is not a language I even can come close to. So it was very, very confusing.
Scary, too.
It's scary. It's scary for everybody. So what we want to talk about is, what do you do?
Right.
Where do you go? The first and number one rule, like you said, is don't go try to bring them back to this world. Go to their journey. It's their journey now, not yours. And be patient. It is so hard. You think it's hard. You don't live with your mother. Can you imagine spending 24 hours a day with somebody who has dementia and you're living in a house and you can't get out because you can't drive and you're stuck with them?
Right.
It and the anger. You know, it's hard not to get angry when you go, I just told you where the shoes were.
Right.
And so you have to try to be patient. You got to be an interpreter. Try to learn to figure out what it is they're talking about and what it is they want you to understand. Sometimes anger happens because you don't understand that they're hurting. You know, they could have, maybe they fell and you don't know about it, and so they're hurting. They hurt their arm, and so they're angry at you, and they're frustrated, and you won't listen to them, and you won't pay attention. And so all of a sudden they're going, come on, yeah, come to my world. Come help me here.
Right.
Be connected. Eye contact. You and I are sitting here looking at each other, talking. Eye contact is huge. You've got to know where somebody's eyes are. Don't look at their heads. Don't look around the room. Don't be looking at pictures or the TV. Do not get sidetracked. Stay focused, because that is often all they have is your eyes to look at to figure things out.
Interesting.
And you don't think about it, but you can tell a lot by a person by where they're looking when they're talking to you. If they're not looking at your face, if they're looking around the room, or if they're not looking interested, you don't want to talk to them oftentimes. You lose interest in them as well. Mm. So be connected with that person.
Mm-hmm.
Be aware of nonverbal cues. Speak calmly and watch your body language. You know, you don't think about it, but when you cross your hands or arms across your chest, that's a very defensive move. It means don't come any closer to me. I don't want to talk to you. Or if you put your hands on your hip, it looks like you're getting ready to scold somebody. People pick up on that. Just like your kids do when your mother's mad, you knew that your mother, when she had her hands on her hip, she was going to lecture you. People pick up on those kinds of things. So you have to be in tune to where you are. The other thing is, if it's possible, it's not always possible, but get down to their level. If they're sitting in a chair, don't stand up above them and lecture them. Come down to their level and sit in a chair next to them. It's, again, sometimes that's not possible. Sometimes they're in bed and maybe you don't have a chair around. And I'm sorry, I'm not one who can squat real well anymore.
Right.
But if you can, try to get down with them and at least get your head lower than they are so that it doesn't seem threatening. What you have to remember with people with dementia is that they are scared, and we keep saying it. And so if anything that looks threatening to them is going to make them be more quiet, it's going to make them be more agitated, and you don't need somebody agitated when you're trying to get them a shower or something.
No.
So try to communicate that way. There's a term that I've heard a lot lately that we'll talk about before the break, and it's called elder speak. Oh, honey, you didn't mean to do that. Come on, little girl, let's get going. Don't talk to them like they're children. I know in the South we use the terms honey, dear, sweetheart a lot. I call everybody darling.
Sure.
But they have a name. Call them by their name. If it's your mother, then say, mother, let's go, or whatever it was you called them. If they have a first name, then call them first name. If you know that they want to be called Dr. Smith, then call them Dr. Smith. But don't call them honey and sweetie. And don't talk down to them. They are not children. They deserve all the respect that they have acquired in the ever how many years they've been here.
Absolutely. Elder speak.
Yeah.
Not good.
Not good.
All right, we're coming back after the Fox Business Report. Karen's with us from Oakleaf Village. It's our positive points on aging. Stay with us on The Point.
Mornings with Kev. Back to the Bark Fireside Studio.
It's Mornings with Kev and Brian.
Good morning. Welcome back in on The Point, 8:51, almost 8:52. I'm so glad to have Karen with us from over at Oakleaf Village. They are our partners for the Positive Points on Aging. Really appreciate our friendship and partnership with Oakleaf Village. They do a beautiful job, and we're so happy to have Karen and Marsha coming in every week to hang out with us from 8:35 until 9 o'clock. They educate us and hopefully educate you on different things as it comes to our seniors and senior care. And we're dealing this week with how to talk and not talk. Not talk. Well, that's important, too.
It is.
When it comes to dementia and someone dealing with dementia, how to talk to that person, how to specifically not talk to that person, because there are definitely some do's and some don'ts, and we've been talking about both.
Well, and honestly, probably the don'ts are more important than the do's in some ways. And I just threw out the term elder speak, and elder speak comes down to you have to show respect. Respect to whomever it is, do not treat people badly. And that's just common courtesy, and we know that. So when you're treating someone with respect, you do hold their attention, you stay focused on them, you want them to know that you care, you want them to understand that it's okay. It really is okay that they can't come up with these words.
Right.
You're here to help. So don't panic. Don't get scared. Let me help you. Sometimes if they can't come up with a word, I am famous for interrupting and finishing sentences. It drives my husband crazy. And at this point, it's okay to do that, because if they can't come up with the word, it might be a good thing for you to say,
right,
did you mean to say carrot?
Right.
Instead of pen,
right?
You know, give them options and let them know that you are paying attention and that you're a friend and that you're willing to help work with them to get to where they want to be, because you don't want them to think that you're not listening. You want them to understand that you are listening, and give people choices. Like I said, you know, okay, it's time for mom to have a shower and you have to help her with the shower. So you don't say, okay, mom, it's time for the shower and we're going to go, because that might upset her. She may not know what shower means. It might scare her. And please don't start taking her clothes off, because that really might upset
her.
You go, mom, would you like to take a shower now, or would you like to do it later? And if she still doesn't understand, take her into the bathroom. Show her the shower. Point to the shower and say, is this okay now or later? And give them options, because, you know, maybe right now is not a good time for you to take a shower. Maybe that's not what you want. Or maybe you have to help them to the restroom. So when they need to go to the bathroom, say, do you need to go to the restroom? If they don't understand, walk them in there.
Right.
Don't just assume because you've said it they understood what you're saying either, because it doesn't work that way sometimes. Don't criticize. Don't correct. You know, I just told you 20 minutes ago that we were going to do this. Why can't you remember? Or you have told me that story 50 times. I don't need to hear that again.
Right.
When you're living with somebody who has dementia and it's 24/7 and you can't get away from it, it is really hard not to criticize.
It is. But at the same time, I mean, if you take a step back and just think for a second, do you really think that your loved one wants to tell you the same story 13, 14 times? Do you really think that your loved one really can't understand how to dial a phone?
Yeah.
I mean, wants to be in a situation where all of a sudden things that he or she has done all their lives, all of a sudden now these are becoming tasks they can't do? If you just take one step back from your own reality and realize they don't want to be in that situation any more than you want to see them. It's just we have a hard time dealing with the pain and the reality of acceptance when we have to come to terms with, wait a second, you're talking about just simply being able to hit off on something or on something, and it's just not clicking for them.
I think it is the fear of accepting that there's a change in your family member, because I had, like I said earlier, I've had people come in and go, oh, mom's just doing this to make me mad. And even if your mother was an obnoxious, horrible mother, I don't think she's doing it just to make you mad. And you're right. But I think it's the fear of how they're changing. And none of us like to see our adult parents who we've spent our whole lives trusting and counting on not be able to be counted on. So you have to remember that. But also, if you do get frustrated, go outside, take a walk, do whatever it is that you have to do. Pick up the phone and call a friend. Whatever it takes, because you've got to be able to be the person that person can count on. And if you're not there, what are they going to do?
Yeah, Mark's called me probably 3 or 4 times in the last week saying, all right, I can't do it right now. He even said to me at one point, he said, if I had a gun in my hand right now, I'd blow my head off.
Right.
Because he's so frustrated trying to get mom to be able to turn the TV on the right channel.
Yeah.
And so I said, all right. I said, stop. I said, let me call her.
Yeah.
I said, let me take a shot at it. I said, go clear your head. And I said, I'll probably call you with something later on today that maybe I can't get her to do.
Right.
He's like, I've been over there twice already today. I don't want to go again unless I have to. I said, don't worry about it. I said, let me take a shot at it.
Yeah.
And so we're double teaming. And fortunately, we have the relationship that we're so close that we don't keep score who's doing what for mom. We just do it.
Yeah.
And that's important.
You have to have that. If you don't have siblings in town that can help, have a friend that will help, have somebody that you can count on, a pastor, a doctor, somebody, you can pick up a phone and they'll say, okay, my turn, I'll go do that for you. Because everybody needs support in this situation. This is a team sport, folks. It is not an individual sport anymore. It's just not. One thing that I really like, and I'm going to probably end with this one, but don't yell at people who have dementia. Don't talk loudly. They're not deaf, necessarily. And talking loudly doesn't make it any clearer to them. It just makes them mad, particularly if they don't have hearing problems. Use your normal speaking voice when you're dealing with them. And first and foremost and last and whatever is always show respect. Treat them the way you want to be treated and get help if you need it. But that's really what it comes down to, is learning that what the cues are, where they are in their journey, and trying to figure it out so that you can give them the help that they need.
Ultimately, at this point, I think what people need to recognize, at this point, all I want for my mom is two things. One is I want her to have quality of life.
Yep.
And the other is I want her to have dignity.
Yep.
And the best way to get to that is what you were just describing, is don't treat them, don't treat them with they're babies, and be patient with them and show them respect and do whatever you can to protect their dignity.
And protect them.
Yeah.
If you figuring out what they're talking about is going to protect them in the long run. You're going to protect them from doctors or people who are taking advantage of them or anything that can happen.
Right.
You may be their only voice.
Yeah. I really, it's hard.
It's
not a fun situation to go through, and it's a hard situation to do. And one thing I will tell you is there's a lot of support groups you guys have and things like that. We'll talk more about that maybe next time. But
I'm going to throw it out there real quick. We have our support group at Oakleaf Village this Thursday at 6 o'clock. If you're interested, call 803-808-3477 or oakleafvillagelexington.com.
Look at you. Just tying it all together, aren't you?
All together.
Well done. I appreciate it. Hey, we got Erica and John coming up next with Your Way Home. Really appreciate that. I'll see everybody this afternoon for 4 o'clock with the Afternoon Drive. Big thanks to Karen. Thanks to Brian. I'm Kev. Thank you for listening in to The Point. Have a great day.
Mornings with Kev.
WQXL Columbia, W264DF.
Grills, outdoor kitchens, fireplaces. Summer sizzle starts with Bart. This is 107 The Point.